Today on Real Radio.
You want to talk prophecy? Did you know his name was adopted? When Solomon built the great temple, outside the temple, you know, there's two pillars, and one of those pillars named is Boaz. Did you know that? They don't hold anything up. There's one on each side of the entrance of the temple in Jerusalem. Boaz.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We've recently wrapped up our verse-by-verse examination of the book, and on today's program, Jack gives us more of his final overview of the four-chapter account in a study called Heaven, Our Home. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Somehow, maybe it was a radio program, maybe it was a neighbor, maybe it was a family member. Somehow you heard the gospel. Well, that's because in Jerusalem, God says, send the message now to the Gentiles. And the gospel went out. Paul the apostle was the chief apostle to the Gentile world. And the news eventually reached your heart in this day, in this age that you live in. And you gave your heart to Christ. In that moment, you became the bride of Christ. But she's a Gentile. She's engaged not to the Father. He's already married. Who is she engaged to? The Bible says Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Jesus says, I'm going to leave. In John chapter 14, he says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. I will not leave you alone. And so Ruth is a Gentile. She's been brought into a Jewish family. And her bridegroom-to-be will be one who comes out of Bethlehem, O little town. It's amazing. She's a type of Christ. Well, what about Orpah? Good question. In this prophetic overview of the book of Ruth, Orpah is a type of, listen, the professing believer. Oh, it's true. Orpah is one who was in the family. She said, I'll go with you, Naomi. But Naomi said, no, don't. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and in Luke's gospel, I believe around chapter 8, somewhere around there, Jesus said, there are four types of recipients that hear the word of God. Only four. And just think, in this room, there can only be four. Jesus says, one of them receives the word of God, and before the sun even sets, the word of God is out of their heart. Then there's another that receives the word of God, and they go along for a little bit, but the cares of the world choke out the word. Boy, have I seen that happen in the lives of people. They sign up for Jesus, and the next thing, 2 weeks later, they're signed up for that college program. Jack, are you saying we shouldn't go to college? No, we should go. Just get your priorities right, will you? You can go to college. I think you ought to go. I think you ought to take Jesus with you when you go. That's the problem. Some people get signed up on things. You know, if God is telling you to do it, then do it. But take him, because I've seen so many people get involved in a project and Jesus gets left behind. And they get hurt. Be careful, because Jesus says, I'm warning you guys, there are those who love me and the word and they're excited, but then after a while the cares of the world choke it out. And they choke me out of this person's heart. And they fall away. And then there are those who believe. Jesus said it this way. It's very alarming. He said, these are they who believe for a while. Guess what? We don't know what a while means. That's spooky. It means in a broad sense, that they believe for a couple of hours, all the way out to many, 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 many years. And they give up. Jesus says, these are they who believe for a while, but persecution arises for the word's sake. Tribulation or trial comes. Temptation. In Luke, he uses the word temptation. He says, temptations come, and they give up. A person could profess Christ, live 30 years, and wind up missing heaven altogether because they were never, listen, they were never born again. They believed in him. Now, I want you to hear this loud and clear, and to be quite honest with you, I don't care if we get past this next statement, because you must understand this, because all of us have been vandalized by this. An Orpah's this type in the Bible. You and I know people who went forward at a Billy Graham crusade or a Harvest crusade or at church or whatever, and they might have even took off like a skyrocket. You know what I'm talking about? But there was never a lasting change in their lives. In fact, as time went on, they went right back into the world. They even called themselves Christians, but they no longer fellowshiped with Christians. They no longer talked like a Christian. They no longer walked like a Christian. But they would say they're a Christian. Now listen, this strikes home to every one of us. This finger can come right back to my life too, and people I know. That person gets run over by an Amtrak train or something. Well, Pastor Jack, you know, they're a Christian, right? Well, you know, I don't know. How can you say that? They went forward at a Billy Graham crusade 25 years ago. Well, that's good, but was Jesus present in their lives? Did you see Christ in their life? No. I have to respond by saying, you know what? All I can tell you is Jesus says you'll know the world and you know the church, the real church, by their fruit. Now, I hope this guy cried out to Jesus the moment those steel wheels were going over his body. I hope so. But the tragic thing is Jesus, out of four types of hearers, only one of them makes it to heaven. You can say tonight, well, I believe in God. Well, whoop-de-doo. What? Oh, yeah, you have to believe in God to carry you the rest of the way, which is to put faith in him. And these are the ones that go to heaven. Read Matthew chapter 13. You can't walk around saying you're a Christian and live a non-Christian life. You can't say, well, I'm in the family, and your name's Orpah. It won't work. Well, what about Elimelech? Well, Elimelech was a man that is a type, according to Bible scholars, he's a type of those who led Israel astray, and even today, those who could lead people astray. And he led his family astray. He didn't conduct his home as a godly man ought to do. He didn't consult God. He led his family astray. As time went on, his sons were shipwrecked. By the way, it's happening so much in the professing Christian church today, like I've never seen in 20 years as being a Christian. And on the little, at least the Calvary Chapel phone line I'm on with the guys I talk to at their Calvary Chapels, it's the same thing happening. I think we're living in the last days, people. Jesus said, whatever can be shaken shall be shaken, and only that which remains shall remain. I think we're in a time of shaking. Been listening to the news. I heard 3 days ago in the news, I heard that it's very, very possible that the way the economy, can you believe the economy? Now listen, it's very possible that in 18 months, this one financial guy was saying that in 18 months, the U.S. dollar worldwide will collapse and we'll all be broke in 18 months. Oh, never happen. Be careful. I tell you, wouldn't Christians start to pray if the dollar went broke? Oh, Father, Lord, and the Lord. Oh, it's so good to hear all this prayer coming up. You know, we're burning $100 bills to keep us warm in our house. Can you imagine? Well, we wouldn't be burning them in my house, but we'll come over to your house and burn a $100 bill. 18 months. This is no fly-by-night thing. This is on the news. It's possible. This is very possible. Whoa, that's kind of scary. No. Can you imagine the amount of people that no longer can trust in their money and will have to trust in Jesus Christ? It'd be a great time for evangelism, everybody. Let's get ready. Isn't it interesting? Jesus never said, you know, you either need to choose to serve God or Tootsie Rolls. He didn't say Tootsie Rolls. He says, you know, you need to make the decision to serve God or what? BMW. He didn't say BMW. Isn't it something? He said, you mean you need to make a decision to either serve God or mammon, money, bucks, dollars. This last trip in Israel, we were in Bethlehem at a restaurant that's owned by a bunch of really nice, I like these guys, fun guys, Muslim guys, a great restaurant, great food, fun guys. And I said, you know, I need another Coke. I need a Coke. I said, can I buy a Coke? And he said, oh yes, in God we trust. Did you get it? It was a slam on the Americans. Oh, yes, in God we trust. Just give me your money and I'll give you a Coke. In God we trust. How many people? Orpah caved in. How many people will cave in? Elimelech caved in. How many people will cave in? Naomi almost caved in. Naomi's name, that means pleasant. She said what? Call me whom? Mara, call me bitter, for the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. He's been hard on me, and I'm going back with nothing. Boy, he's been mean to me. You know what? As the world approaches its deadline, severe things are going to happen atmospherically and meteorologically. El Nino. Now, I understand that's the child, right? But somebody said it's the Christ child because it arrived supposedly during the times of December, so they nicknamed it the Christ child. Well, that's not very nice. We should call it El Diablo or something, you know. There you go. These are things, these names speak of something that God is trying to tell us who will search. It's awesome that God says, if you'll search to find me, you will find me when you search after me with all of your heart. And you know what's amazing about the Bible? When we look at the book of Ruth prophetically, is that there are words in there that we could literally do weeks and weeks of study on regarding prophecy. Because enter the story, this man named Boaz, whose name means strength. You want to talk prophecy. Did you know his name was adopted when Solomon built the great temple? Outside the temple, you know, there's two pillars, and one of those pillars named is Boaz. Did you know that? They don't hold anything up. There's one on each side of the entrance of the temple in Jerusalem. Boaz. Prophetically, you know, Solomon was related to Boaz. But Boaz had that erected because of strength. His name means strength. And what kind of strength are we talking about? Well, this man from Bethlehem, that's no coincidence, who was the wealthiest man there, who was one of the judges of Israel, and in a typological sense, and we have to be careful because you can't push types too far, but in a typological sense, there's eternity hinted about in his age. He was somewhere between 35 and 45 years of age. Now, I haven't fallen into that category. I'm not eternally old. But what happened was he was about half, or Ruth was about half his age. He was very wealthy and powerful. His very life speaks of Jesus Christ, who, according to Micah 5:2, we studied at length in the book of Ruth, whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. Micah 5:2, the eternal Son of God. And so Boaz comes on the scene. He's got all the power to redeem her. But interestingly enough, you see how prophetic this is. He loves her. Remember the story? She loves him. He's showing her favor. He sits down and he feeds her. Remember at the table that one afternoon? As they were all gathered around? And the time comes when Naomi says, because he's given you this bucket of grain, remember that big bag of grain she brought home? You just sit still, girl, because this man will not rest day or night until he's accomplished what needs to be done. Do you remember when she came and she was all dressed up with her perfume and all that stuff, and she came to the threshing floor, which was a hilltop there in Bethlehem, many, many hilltops in Bethlehem? And she, as Boaz is there sleeping away, and remember there's close to 1,000 people around or so, tremendous crowd, so nothing's sensual or bizarre going on. She goes down to the end of his foot, grabs his blanket and pulls his blanket up and lays down, steals his blanket. But by doing so, she's saying, I accept you and all of your offerings to be my husband. I accept you as my husband. And remember, he got up and they probably talked for a long time. But before the sun rose, he said, you go home and I'll call you later. And he went right into town. And what did this redeemer, kinsman, Goel, the kinsman redeemer, the one who stands in place to redeem the one who's lost? What did he do? He went straight to the city. Remember? He sat down in the city gates of Bethlehem and he watched, because there was one man who was closer in genealogy than Boaz who could redeem her. Boaz had the power. He had the initiative. He had the heart. He loved her. But there was another man who didn't love her, but he had the power. Remember, we don't know his name. He didn't have a name. Remember, he walked by, and it says, and it happened, he came by. And Boaz says, sit down here, my friend, old buddy, old pal. I want to talk to you a little bit. Remember how he set him up? Well, you know, Naomi's back from Moab. She's got some land, needs to be redeemed. Will you redeem it? Say so. Yeah, I'll redeem it. Remember, he said, I'll do it. Then he says, oh, yeah, there's one other thing. Good Jewish. Read the fine print thing there. Those guys, hey, I'm telling you, we're doing business with some guys right now. They know how to do business. Read the fine print. The fine print is, if you take Naomi and all of her land, you got to take Ruth. Well, I can't do that. I'd mess up my own inheritance. I'd mess up my own life. Well, sorry to hear it. Well, I tell you what. I'll redeem it for you. Well, go ahead and redeem it then. Because, if I take all this and Ruth, what am I going to do with this girl? Am I supposed to raise up sons for her and her dead husband's name? Forget that. That would really mess things up in my family. Can't do it. So remember what he did? Took off his shoe. Who was that guy? He was a type of the law. Now, there's, according to typologists, there's two renderings. We'll come to the second one in a moment. But he was a type of the law. He had power, but he wasn't willing to save because he couldn't save. The law, and I'm talking about the law of God. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments has power, but it cannot save. We covered that at length. This is a prophetic story. Can the law save you? No, it cannot. There's only one that can save you, and he loves you. Does the law love you? No, it cannot love. The law can only point. If somebody's pointing at you in your life, they're much like the law, right? Unless they love you, and they won't point, they'll come up and embrace you and help you. Boaz was there to help. Jesus never came, pointing. He came receiving. Jesus came with open arms. Jesus said, I and I alone will fulfill the law. Isn't that what he said? He says, not one jot, that is one Hebrew jot and one Hebrew tittle of its alphabet or of its language, will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will never pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Jesus will fulfill the law. But how can you and I fulfill the law today? He told us. He said, you love God with all your heart. That'll keep you busy for all the days of your life. Love God with all your heart. And the second thing is, he says, why don't you love your neighbor too? If we attempt to love God with all of our hearts, we are going to be some radical people. We will be an awesome group of people. We'll be an awesome church. Why? Are you listening to this? Because we are determining to love God. People, when you are not loving God, you're loving yourself. Well, what's wrong with that? Shirley MacLaine said I should do this. I know it sounds good, but the thing is, you don't have to love yourself. You already do. The Bible says no man has hated himself, but loves himself. Who was the first one you saw this morning? You wake up, you go look in the mirror. You know, do I look okay? Yeah, you check your breath. Well, if you didn't love yourself, you'd like put diapers in your mouth so you would stink. Well, I don't love myself, so I want to stink. If you didn't love yourself, you would get the worst clothes. You would go to Ross and buy the worst clothes you could find. Hey, I'm not knocking. That's where I shop. If you hated yourself, you would never change your socks. Well, how come your socks stink? Because I hate myself. I want everybody to hate me because I hate me. I hate me. I want you to hate me. No, that's not our problem. Our problem is we love us. We comfort, we take care of ourselves. We're the most important things in our minds. We're so fond of ourselves. Jesus says, you want to have a cool life, healthy, strong life? He says, forget about yourself. Isn't that, now, you tell that to the world and they'll go, this is nuts. My analyst tells me I should like take pictures of myself. No, listen, throw the pictures away. Throw the camera away. Start taking pictures, I should say, of other people. Find out what their need is. How do you love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? This is how you do it. Find out what your neighbor needs.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, a presentation called Heaven, Our Home, a final overview of the four-chapter narrative, the conclusion of which we'll hear on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, quite obviously, our hope here at Real Radio is that this series has been of great benefit to you. The Old Testament narrative of Ruth meeting Boaz is not only an account of how a man and woman, one Jewish, one Gentile, fall in love and marry, but it is also valuable for many other scriptural reasons, which is why it is included in the Old Testament. So, we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll be glad to send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.